Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Adam Carolla Show. So when you're choosing a mortgage lender, work with someone you can trust. Rocket Mortgage. They are transparent and they have an online process that gives you confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. Securely share your financial info for a mortgage and get approval in just minutes. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to be sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. So whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, skip the bank, skip the waiting. Do it completely online at quickenloans.com/Adam. That's quickenloans.com/Adam. Dawson.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Bald Brian on sound effects and Gina Grad on news. And now, reminding you to tune in tonight for Adam Carolla and Friends Build Stuff Live on Spike TV. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The church better get it on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We do love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Dan Ball Bryan.
Mother effer, please.
I was going through all my stuff, looking for a card, actually looking for old pictures, trying to figure out the opening to this TV show, looking for all these. Just had this funny conversation with Ray, which is...
Be the judge if it's funny or not.
All of them, but I've been yelling at him for a while to bring in all his old pictures. Yeah. We're building this opening for this show. We need to show you and I, construction, old days, what have you. And
show that you've been at this a while. You're not a weekend warrior. You're not some guy, hammer, what about that?
The edict was pictures of me and you from back in the day, or anything of me, or construction, you know? And so... We were just sitting, I just got back from Nate's off, and we're looking at this opening that we're creating, Nate and I, and we're like, you know, that's my buddy Ray. He's been doing construction for 25 years, and we have a picture of him holding a beer in a swimming pool, which is fine, but we're all just sort of sitting there going, damn, I wish we had a picture of Ray from back in the day doing construction.
He's been doing construction for 25 years, trust us.
Yeah, and we don't have anything, and there's a big box of pictures, and I just walked into the office. And Ray sitting there eating. And I said, what are you doing here, Ray? And Nate said, he's getting a construction picture. And I said, you're getting a construction picture? Yeah. He says he's got one of him from back in the day doing construction. And I said,
that's helpful.
What? Okay, but why not? You gave us two or three pictures. Why not include that? Hey, you wanted pictures of me and you doing construction. I said, yeah. But we're building this thing, and if you happen to have one with you on some scaffolding...
We can make it work.
Feel free to... Yeah. Well, here's the... What I say to people all the time. Throw it in the pile, and then we'll hand it back to you.
The worst you can say is, no thanks.
Yeah. Couldn't hurt.
Right. And then this is... which is my favorite part, which is... when you go, Jesus Christ, we're up against it. We're trying to build this opening now. We could have used this 2 weeks ago. And they go, I'm getting it now. And you go... I know you're getting it.
Indeed, you are.
That's the problem.
This is why I'm doing it, okay? The weirdest answer. You guys tell me that part, that I'm doing it okay.
Yeah, just here's the status. I'm here. I'm delivering it.
But it's being offered as an excuse, but it's not really an excuse.
It's not producing anything.
You were told to do something weeks ago, and now you've been yelled at, and now you're doing it. But now your comeback is, I'm doing it.
Here's the thing. You asked me to do it. I heard you. And now here we are.
Well, it's not a process
weeks later.
It's not like you're painting a house. It's one thing.
It wasn't exactly all of Ray because we wanted old pictures of us or me doing construction. But again, three pictures were produced, if two of them were you back in the day slinging a little Type S mortar, that would have been good to be included. He did beat us on a technicality, but we are trying to create an opening with him featured in it, which I found interesting.
Did the new picture work? Is it what you're looking for?
I've not seen it.
No. Brian, please.
I thought you walked in on them exchanging pictures.
No, he's eating. I walked in on him eating. He has a big pile of pictures and casually and matter-of-factly, oh yeah, there's one of me from back in the day in there. I can go get that. Hmm. Like,
do you want that?
I'm very, very curious about that part of life. I don't know how it works.
Maybe someday I'll get to the bottom of it.
I just don't. I had a picture that, all right, I won't even get into it. The point is here we go. Oh. Here we go. I found, going through my big pile of pictures and combing through everything, one of the things I found was a greeting card. A kind of card that back when everything had value, when you wouldn't throw away a cigar box.
Sure.
Because a cigar box is a place you could keep
You can hold cards.
Sure.
Hold cards. You put matchbox cars in it. Later on, roaches, joints, yep. You know, whatever, paraphernalia. But, like, things that are made of cardboard and even had a cardboard hinge on them are still things of value.
Sure.
When I was a kid, like, the coolest kid in the grade school or junior high would have just been a kid who had a cutout poster of, like, Randy Macho Man Savage stepping into a Slim Jim that was thrown in a dumpster of a 7-Eleven. If that thing was leaning against his wall, he would have had the most in value of any kid I knew. Like that.
Oh, man.
If you could find some old display from a liquor store or something.
Inflatable.
Perfect. Inflatable.
Yes.
Spuds McKenzie.
You missed out on college in this respect because that is decorating your dorm room. You find a street sign that fell down. Oh, that one-way sign is going up.
Right.
Seriously. Everyone of the people at dorm room that had stuff that was found signage.
I found a card that for some reason I've lost everything in my life, but this card has traveled with me my entire life. And I've looked at it many, many times, but finally never really saw it clearly. And now at the ripe old age of 52, picked it up again after cleaning out my stuff one more time to organize. And I just looked at it and I thought, oh, I missed this part. But for some reason, this throwaway card that I got in 1982 from the Furity family. Mm-hmm. Gobby.
You even remember who Gobby
Furity. Wow. Well, because he was related. I mean, not related, because nobody was actually related. And then the ones who were fully related, you didn't want to be related to. So we had a group of people we weren't related to, I would have liked to have been related to. But it was like my grandfather, my step-grandfather, for his Hungarian side, had the Furities. They had the Bougie and Gabi and so on and so forth. They got me a card for graduating high school. And then I always kept the card with me. And I didn't keep it on me, but I'd throw it in the bag, you know, throw it in the yearbook or whatever, and it just kept traveling around. And a lot of stuff got lost or damaged or whatever. I moved 250 times. For some reason, this card just stayed with me.
Obviously.
And
can't wait to see this card.
Now I'm reading it, and it dovetails nicely into a conversation when I was explaining that my dad was sort of saying to me, you know, what's with the motor? Like, you're screwing up the curve for the Corollas over here. And I said to him, I was basically...
a lot of people talk about your work ethic. It's a little too good.
Yeah, he didn't like to bring shame to the family. No, it's like Steve Young. I felt like I was a good quarterback. I was spending a lot of time on the pine behind Montana. And when it was time to play, it was time to play for me. And
better than the old bag of bones?
I told him.
Turn to Kansas City.
I spent 10 years doing nothing when I should have been doing this. And so now I feel like I'm making up for lost time. But it was a decade of walking around picking up garbage alone.
Your USFL years.
That's right. That's what
to
it
extend,
was.
You know.
That's what I was
going to
say, but
right.
It's like.
So I pointed out to my dad that if he or anyone else in the family may have pointed out to me that maybe there was a little something here, that maybe I could have gone out and done these other things. I would have tried them a little earlier or whatever, but I was convinced by all of you that there was nothing to say. So I went to a construction site, started picking up garbage. I found this card that Gobby passed a few years ago, Furity, got me, and it's a picture of a guy, and he's got a yo-yo, and he's got his cap and gown on, and his diploma, and he's skipping around.
It's a three-panel cartoon.
Three-panel cartoon on the front. It says, nowadays, to get anywhere, a graduate has to have talent. And it's underlined, and it says, you have talent. And underneath that, it says, a graduate has to have friends, underlined. You have friends. Same guy now. He's got a bird and a kitty and a doggy, and everyone's cute. Enjoying him. And then the bottom one, which is, a graduate has to have an unyielding desire to work, and someone is handing him a shovel. This is a thing for me. Like, I remember seeing this when I was 18 going, fuck, he's right. Yeah. Like,
he knows.
I am going to be digging ditches. Please, not the figurative, horrible job. You'll be a ditch digger. For a living, dug ditches months after this for quite a long time in my life. Just dug ditches. Not a little bit of ditch digging and then a little bit of carbon, just to dig. I think people fully wrap their mind around working 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, just digging. Like, you don't think you can do it, or people do it. They do it. That's what I did.
It's almost like she put a pox on you with this card.
Gabby is a he, but
he ain't saying you a dish digger,
right? So
Brian, please.
He said, that was for Gary. And when you open the card, I like Kanye. When you open the card, it says.
So yeah, the last frame ends on.
You need talent. Yeah. You need friends. You need to be able to work, and then you have to have, and then you open it up, and it says, you have friends. So
implying you don't have ability or the desire to work.
Or talent. That's the one I never got was the talent part. See, to me, the way the joke breaks down, if I'm writing this joke, it's like, you need talent. You got talent. You need friends. You got friends. You need the unyielding desire to work. And then you'd open up and go, well, you got talent and friends. That's how it always played in my mind, not the unyielding desire to work. But they pulled the talent off the table.
They pulled the talent off the punchline.
They pulled the talent off the table, too. Yeah. And so now all I have is friends, which was true. I did have friends. But it was weird when I looked at this, because my mind always did this kind of spell correct joke thing where it's like, oh, it was all about the work.
Yeah.
Work.
That's where my mind went first,
right.
too.
But they pulled the talent part off, too. Which is a little bit cruel.
That's a poorly constructed cartoon, because in the first panel it says, you have talent. So why would they pull that off the punchline?
Right. So the first panel is, you have talent. Like, that's me.
That's me.
You got friends. That's me. You never, you have unyielding. An unyielding desire to work. Not me. So you'd think talent would be included, but they stripped talent off and just said you had friends. Anyway.
That's offensive.
A prophetic Gabby Furity. And it was funny, I've never seen it, and I did what you did in your brain, which you just fix the joke or you move on. But I was sitting down at the table, and I was like, this was not only something that was an unspoken edict at the Corolla House, it came in written form as well.
Yeah.
Who finds a graduation card that explains to the young graduate that they're not talented?
And I would say that the one thing you had in abundance back then was a ability to work hard. Like, you're about to spend the next 10 years digging.
I did have that, or I did run into that. But either way, I never.
Confusing.
This card's funny.
Did they not include a personal
talent?
There's just two big blank squares. Nobody wrote you anything.
It says the Furities at the bottom.
Oh my God! Yeah. And these were the ones you wanted to be related to.
Yeah.
It was ambitious.
Yeah, this was very kind.
You aspire to that.
Yep. So I found that interesting.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you. Somebody sent me a new trailer for Fast 8, and on the I never get tired of talking about myself and my intuitions that come true. We were laughing. Ooh, what's the date? God, must have been close to 10 years ago. 06. Closer to 10 years ago. 06, the premise for Navageddon. Remember Navageddon?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we got the premise for Navageddon.
I'm going to go ahead and venture and say that was earlier. The 06 may have been the radio show, but wasn't Navageddon a love line thing?
I don't
totally
think so.
Off on that.
I don't know.
Either way,
it couldn't be that old because cars didn't really have the navigation GPS. And the self-driving.
Look at
and
you.
That kind of,
look
yeah,
at
here
you.
Here we go.
Which is now thinking for itself, you know, and starting to beam evil things back down to Earth. Because, of course, every time you give a machine an idea, whenever they can think for themselves, they always turn bad. They never want to give you a BJ or I'll go walk this dog or anything. They turn on your ass. And now it's getting into cars' navigational systems, the GPS, because it's the year 2022. Every car has a GPS now. And it's beaming its satellite down, its evil information down through the antenna of these cars, and it's telling.
So then somebody sent me. Eventually, all the cars just drove into the Grand Canyon, and one guy had the Rogue Ford Bronco, like the 71 Ford Bronco, old school NASA scientist. Car didn't have the self driving or the navigation or anything. Wasn't affected. Right. By this, and someone sent me the Fast 8 thing, and you tell me if that's not Navageddon.
You ready?
One thing I can guarantee, no one's ready for this.
She's the very definition of high-tech terrorism.
There's thousands of cars in this city, and now they're all mine.
Now I know what it feels like to be every cop ever chasing us. Wait!
All the cars just pouring out of the parking structure. Yeah. It's like rats, like sewer rats.
It's a great shot lendings.
Yeah. But Toretto's got his old school Charger not affected by this.
He turned his garment off.
Yeah.
Wow.
There it is. Navageddon. I'll tell you the thing that separates the Fast series for me from a lot of them is they always do something innovative. Interesting.
Lately, yes.
Yes, lately, for sure. Yeah, well, at the beginning, it was just, we're going to get in some slammed Acuras and go around the corner.
Changed so much over the series. They were just that. Now they're legitimately great action movies.
And now, with all these wiki and this, that, and the other, yes, they're self-driving cars. Yes, we've figured out that the government could probably disable a car if they were chasing you or whatever. How far away are we from doing this and the windows rolling up? See, in Navageddon, the windows would roll up, the doors would lock.
Oh, God.
Well, you're in your car. Like, what are you going to do when the hacker rolls the windows up, locks the door, and starts steering you for the Grand Canyon?
If this is today, like the person driving doesn't even notice because they're on their phone at a red light. The thing's locked. They don't even notice they're on Twitter. The windows roll up. They don't even notice. All of a sudden, starts moving. Like, what?
Right.
And by that, it's too late.
Yeah.
So I know that you always talk about, you know, these things are in the zeitgeist, and, you know, nobody ripped me off, but I wouldn't mind you getting a taste of this. Well, we can prove it.
At least get invited to the premiere.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I went out to lunch with the writer a few weeks back.
The plot thickens.
It's funny.
Any more ideas there, Adam?
No. I do not accuse anyone of ripping off my ideas, but I do.
Speak into my phone, please.
I do know this. The guy's a big fan. He listens to everything. And sometimes when things sink in, you know, you hear things and they come out in different ways. Well, we'll figure it out. All right. So that's that. I wanted to share something that I thought you guys might be interested in. First, I'll tell you about ZipRecruiter. Gary, find me the name of our take a knee guy that we're going to talk about. Always put it on there, please. Never going to pull that out of my butt. ZipRecruiter, hiring, posting jobs in one place, not enough. If you want the perfect hire, you need to post on all the top job sites. ZipRecruiter, man, post over 200 job sites, including Facebook, Twitter, one quick click. Super easy. Find candidates in any city, industry, nationwide. Just post once. Watch the qualified candidates come rolling in. No juggling calls or emails to your office. Used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small, medium, large, whatever. Whatever size business you got, you need ZipRecruiter. And right now, our listeners can post jobs to ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. Super easy. ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. Post your job for free. Couldn't be easier. ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. That is ZipRecruiter. All right. I was chatting on Take a Knee with Dr. Dean Sicking is his name. Dr. Dean has about 30 patents and about, he's invented millions of things, hundreds of things, and he has lots of patents, and he's an engineer. And he talks about, he invented this safety wall that Dale Earnhardt was killed by hitting a concrete barrier. He was on the team that investigated Dale Earnhardt's death behind the wheel. So they invented a safety wall that basically, what it did is it went, why do guys die when they hit concrete barriers in race cars? They isolate.
Feels like a short answer.
They isolate the problem.
Fast.
Yeah. Well, your body, your head accelerates, yeah. Your body doesn't, whatever. They break it down once they know what it is and why this is happening. Not why the cars are crashing, but why the people are dying when they hit the thing. Then they just go about, then the solve for the problem is easy for them. They have to find out right. First what's going on. And they found it out, and then they made the safer barrier. I don't know, what was it called, Gary? Is it a safe barrier or something like that?
Safer sounds right, but let me check.
They made the barrier, and once they made the barrier, no one's died in 20 years. That's because they did this. And it's never spectacular. It's like this. NASCAR's
safer
barrier. NASCAR's used to get backwards and go airborne immediately because when they went forward, they had ground force. They got pushed down to the ground. As soon as they went backwards, they began airplane wing, and they would just go launching. It's the craziest thing ever to see 4,000 pounds worth of car just take off into the air.
Seemingly.
Yeah. Okay. So what happened? Well, they're shaped to go forward, but as soon as they go backwards, boom, they turn into an airplane wing and they lift in the air and people get killed. So what do we do? Well, we can't stop them from going backwards because they're doing 180 miles an hour. Somebody clips them. Next thing you know, the guy's spinning, he's going backwards. All right. They literally just took two flaps of sheet metal, put them on top of the roof, put like a little piano hinge on them, and they just rested there. They just sat there. And now, as soon as the car goes backwards, these two flaps lift up, they interrupt the airflow, and the car sits back down. Just two sheet metal. Just nothing. It's a nothing fix. For the price of doing this to one of these cars is the price of one tire from race day, and they use up a semi-truck of race tires on race day. This is nothing. It's just sheet metal on a hinge. Like, it could easily be fabricated by anyone, and it's not activated or anything. It's just pop. When the air goes under it, it pops up. It interrupts the flow. There are those kinds of fixes in life that we could be employing in life. It's easy. It happens. We can do it with human beings, too. And so,
A great example from life is the catchers, you know, baseball catchers, you know, the Steve Yeager throat protector. The
you got
little piece
hit
of plastic.
In the throat with a fastball.
Oh, and this is back in the 70s.
Hung something that looked like sort of a big shoehorn. Yeah, that's just off the bottom of his catcher's mask.
But catcher's mask used to literally just be, Gina, masks,
yeah.
You know, the mask and leaving the throat exposed, and the guy took a foul ball off throat. It's like, hey, how do we hang this $25 piece of plastic off of every throat?
10 cents.
Whatever.
Retailing it for. Yeah, it was like the mask ended at the chin, the throat protector ended at the chest, and there's this little vulnerable area, and people are kind of like, well, what are the chances? Well, tell that to the foul ball that hits you in the larynx. So, Adam's apple or whatever. So, easy fix. And so, I was talking to him about. There's Steve Yeager, and there's the thing
like
swinging from the back of the thing. Hey, so do we have Dean? Dean, by the way, was in like, where was he? He was on his college campus. Anyway, I'll let him talk. He was a very soft-spoken guy, so you have to listen to the ideas.
Alabama, Birmingham, if
yes.
Memory serves.
UAB.
Very quiet, soft-spoken guy who just goes out. And wants to fix things. Like, hey, people are hitting freeway. You know, the big pilasters that come out from the ground that hold up the second. Mm-hmm. Well, if somebody tags you and you hit one of those with your car, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. So what do we put around that absorbs that impact? Had some interesting stuff to say about what size car you should be driving as well that I think you guys would enjoy.
You want to hear that one first?
Well, let's hear that one first.
You got it.
Right.
I once investigated a crash where there was a 6,000-pound car. With an elderly couple in it that neither one held its seatbelts on. They were traveling 25 miles an hour. And then there was this younger couple in a small car with seat belts and shoulder harness. And they had a head on, and the elderly couple got bumps and bruises, and the couple in the small car died.
Right. Now, this is
they took a bigger Delta V than Dale Earnhardt did, even though the closing speed was only 60 miles an hour. They were traveling 35 in one direction, the big car was traveling 25 in the other. Closing speed of 60 miles an hour, the small car took a bigger Delta V than Dale Earnhardt did in each crash.
Bigger, excuse me, you're saying bigger what is the term?
Change in velocity, sorry.
Okay, that's all right. So these guys that were just out going to the farmer's market took a bigger hit than Dale Earnhardt in his race car going, and Dale was going well over 60 miles an hour, but it was the angle, you're saying, that made the difference.
Right. Right. Dale's was about 160 and 16
degrees.
Theirs was closing speed of 65 and zero.
Degrees.
0 degrees.
Yeah. Right.
So that's
right.
The other thing. I'm going to pause it there for a second. It's interesting because Dale's going 160 miles an hour, but he hit at this angle.
Glancing blow.
And theirs is worse because they go straight on. And he said something that was interesting because we all think of new cars, small cars, light cars, safe cars. He said, you know, all the crumple zones and airbags and everything, they test that against stationary stuff. Like you hit the wall, they do the one quart, the front end test or whatever. But they don't have a big wall moving at you. Mm-hmm. And the elderly couple driving the Crown Vic is the big wall that's coming at you. So it's not just you hitting a stationary target, which you think you see all the crash tests and stuff and you sort of think about that.
Yep.
He said, look, no matter what, you just want to be in that bigger, heavier thing when that, if and when that goes down. Yes.
That's when I hit the median in my mom's 1988 Toyota Corolla and flipped it and walked away with just a tiny scratch. They said it was because the size of the car, and they don't really make those anymore, make Corollas like that.
Really? Because they should have been smaller back then.
No, it was a sedan, and it was a heavy car, and that's what they said helped protect me. Does that make sense?
It's always going to make sense. But you're hitting something stationary still. He's really talking about, what about the asswipe out there with the Humvee who's texting, who runs over your kid in a smart car?
I was way off by 12 years. I'm sorry. It was a 2000, according to my mother. Does that help at all?
Did your mother somehow penetrate this conversation
that
quickly?
Yes, she did.
Oh, my God. I've been making all those titty jokes all that time, and your mom's just sitting on the other end of a speaker?
It's true.
This is uncomfortable.
She's always listening, even when we're not on.
Oh, my God.
It's uncomfortable. You were saying?
You've done a great job, Mrs. Grant.
Yes,
delight.
Is it because 88 Corolla's like not a very big car, but they grew. The Japanese cars have been growing. The thing I found interesting about this guy, Dr. Dean, is I said to him, well, now he's working on a football helmet, and he's trying to figure out how to solve this problem with concussions. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, so how's it going? And he's like, well, we haven't found the cause yet of the concussions. They haven't found out if it's like impact, or they're thinking it's more about a twisting motion. And
I always thought it was
the like
brain
that.
Bouncing around inside, but I guess they don't know for sure.
Well, he has to isolate what is going on. When he figures out what is going on, then I tell him how long to solve the problem. And he goes, oh, that's nothing. Once we isolate what is happening, once they figured out that the reason Dale Earnhardt died is that the wall he hit didn't give. And now they have one where you burst through the first wall and the second one doesn't have give, but the first one slows you down and gets you moving back toward, the first one pulls you away and then you're moving back, your harnesses are stretching. And then you're going back in your seat when you hit the second one and it's much, much safer. It's an easy fix, but they have to isolate what's going on.
Wow. What to fix?
Dale Earnhardt had a few things not going his direction. One is he liked to, it's such a dude thing. Race seats have a hole in the center. Oh, okay. Got the old clip? Yeah, go ahead and play it. I'll play what happened to Dale Earnhardt. A NASCAR who worked on the investigation for Dale Earnhardt Sr.?
I led the investigation of Dale Earnhardt's crash.
What did you conclude from that?
We concluded that there were a host of reasons that Dale died. It wasn't just one single factor. There, basically, the fact that he hit a concrete wall was particularly bad. He hit a, what we call a critical impact angle, where all of the velocity is taken out of the impact in one punch.
Right.
And he constructed his seat belts in his seat that were such that it allowed him to get further out of the seat during the crash.
So does that mean his seat belt wasn't tightened down like it should have been?
Well, there are the three things that happened. First of all, the seat belt, crotch belt, was supposed to go through a slot in the seat.
Right.
He didn't like that, so he ran around the front of the seat. That gave him a lot more slack, a lot more room to move around in the seat.
Yeah.
It also made him much more vulnerable.
Yeah, that's called, I do a little bit of car racing, and they call that the submarine belt sometimes. It lets you not slide down.
Exactly. And then there's they also, his shoulder belts were supposed to be mounted to a bar that's above his shoulders behind the seat. He ran the belt over the bar and down to the floorboard. That gave him much more stretch in his belt, which again allowed him to get further out of the seat.
Right.
And finally, the seat belt tore, left lap belt tore during the crash, which really affected it as well.
Yeah. So I know from doing a lot. We got it. What he's saying is the race seats have a hole in the middle of them, and you thread that center belt right down the middle of it, pops up right by your balls.
Like my baby's harness.
Yeah. Goes
out.
Car seat.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a hole there. And he didn't like that, you know, snug feeling, because it used to be a 5-way harness. It's now a 6-way harness, but it's a weird thing. But it used to just be one strap that just went right between the legs. And when you tighten that thing down, you feel a little bit of pressure down there. So he, like the dude he was, just ran it out the front of the seat and pulled it back, mm-hmm. which gave him way too much slack.
Yeah.
But he wanted to be comfortable in there.
So
also, when he's talking about mounting the seat belts, I used to have them this way in my car and my race car, and someone said, you got to move those things. You want to mount it up higher than your back shoulders, not down to the floorboards behind you, pulling you down and having all this slack, too. He had his come up from the bottom, come up, wrap around and go to him. He needed that to be on the bar right behind him, a little bit higher than his shoulders. That's kind of make it. Also, you realize, like, there's got to be somebody in his camp who goes, that's not how you mount them.
My thought was that couldn't have been a mistake. It was obviously a comfort thing, right?
Yeah.
But who's going to say no to him? He's
right.
The one in the car. Yeah. He's the star.
So the part that I...
So two of the three issues were of his doing, sadly.
Well, kind of. But I mean, it's like there's also officials. And they're supposed to.
He's a legend. They may have looked the other way.
Supposed to tech these cars, mm-hmm. and the guys that are teching the cars in before every race have to go look and see how the things are mounted. Something like the lap seatbelt that you would have to do after he got in the car, mm-hmm. and you'd have to go around to him and kind of tell him to get out of the car to fish it around, and that could be a little tougher sell. Mm-hmm. But the rear harness mount, I think they could have brought that up in tech. But either way, now we've learned. So. I talked to the doctor, and I just said, so I love what you guys do. You just take the problem, you isolate the negative part of it, the moment, whatever, and then you just design around that, and then you eliminate it. And he said, that's all we do, and once we isolate, it's pretty easy. And I said, what about problems, you know, social issues, you know, homeless problems or problems about bad schooling or problems about kids growing up in, you know, these kinds of environments or whatever it is you don't want, welfare fraud, you know, whatever it is as a society, you know, prison overcrowding, mm-hmm. whatever it is we don't like as a society, mm-hmm. you guys are the most pragmatic human beings on the planet. What if we just left you alone in the room with this problem? And he's like, oh, yeah, we'd fix it. Like that, we'd isolate the cause, and then we'd go after the cause, and then we'd fix it. And I said, of course you'd fix it, because that's the way you work. Now, politicians have none of that in them.
You're dealing a lot with people who don't want to hear the solution, as opposed to raising, you know, it's like, yes, please, help our drivers stop dying.
Well, also, it's like I sat here with Gavin Newsom while he proudly boasted to me that he liked to work small to big. I don't know what the fuck that means. I'd like to work big to small as politicians. So you realize, does he like working small to big? And what does small to big, I know it sounds good, mm-hmm. but what the fuck does it really mean when it comes to societal problems like prison overcrowding or whatever you fill in the blank of a societal problem. And why not take a little bit more of an approach like these guys? These guys take a bunch of data, crunch a bunch of stuff, approach it, where it's concussions or highway fatalities, and they just go at it. The first thing is what is causing this? And then they go right after the cause. Now, there's no black and white, political, rich, poor, anything when it comes to harnesses. So you can go right to the harnesses. And if you want to invent a safer barrier, no group is going to feel marginalized by your safer barrier. But the fuck can't we just do this with everything and go, look, these guys don't have a dog in a fight. We just put them in a room. We gave them the problem. And this is what they came out with. Now let's go get it.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of the perfect solution because as a politician, you're absolved. It's not me. I didn't come up with it. These guys did. They're the smart ones.
Right. And you wonder why these problems that we speak of, hey, we got homeless, we got prison overcrowding, you know, whatever it is. Well, why did it get worse every year? Like, everyone's like
we
sitting.
We aware of this for however long.
Everyone's sitting around here in Los Angeles talking about, hey, we got a homeless problem. Like, yes, we do. Is anybody going to address this or would we like to? How do you measure progress? You know what I mean? Like, if in Pop Warner football, there was twice as many concussions this year as there was 2 years earlier, that's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. That somebody's not, the commissioner's not doing his job.
Look into it.
Yes. So wouldn't it be nice? And everyone hates this part because, like, oh, you're going to take the human element out of it. You're going to turn everyone into a number. You're going to crunch. I think it'd be nice for the people that are rotting in prison or didn't see their 16th birthday or
literally
whatever.
Literally a number.
Yeah, whatever's going on, they literally get a number attached to them. For the sake of those people, yes, I would like to get the smartest minds together and have them crunch numbers instead of having a bunch of mouthpieces talk about how they feel about everything. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. I talked to this guy for an hour. I had a boner for about 50 minutes of it, and I was just like, every single thing you say is just literally a approach to solve a problem, pure and simple. And much like the flap on the back of the car, which is on the roof of the car, which is nothing but a piece of sheet metal, some of these fixes don't take, oh, we must build state-of-the-art facilities. Oh, no.
Much more simple fix.
Yes.
It reminds me of the guy you talked to, I can't remember his name, who talked about nuclear power.
Yes.
And he said, well, it would be great. It would be perfect. Why don't we do it? People don't like it.
That's right.
And that was it?
Yeah. He was the guy, the Indian guy who invented five-hour energy drink. And he was doing jumping jacks the entire time I was interviewing him, so it was hard to hold him down. But
Noj Bagarov.
Noj Bagarov. Yeah, it was just basically explaining, like, this is a much cleaner, more efficient way to produce electricity. And I'm like, well, let's do it. And he's like, no one's going for it. It's got the word nuke in it. And then somebody invented no nukes.
And that was it.
And now,
great ad campaign.
Now it's over.
Very powerful.
It's like,
had a concert and everything. Yep.
We're listening to Jane Fonda from 1974. Like, that's our plan as a society.
She
said no nukes when she was 23, and now this is it. Coal fired plants for the rest of our time, huh?
Yes, yeah. Nukes doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll tell you what. I've got some calls up there. Married. Yes.
You know, what's sad is there's probably much less of an incentive for the smart. What was the name of the guy you played the clip from? The guy you just talked to?
Dr. Dean Sicken.
There's probably much less of a financial incentive for people like him who are super smart to come up with a solution for homelessness versus a solution for concussions. Because if you invent a new helmet and the NFL is going to buy something with your technology in every helmet, you're going to get financially rewarded. Whereas if you solve homelessness. Where's the payday?
Well, also,
not from the homeless.
Nobody's asking.
Especially.
Nobody is asking these guys. All they're doing is trying to get more money to build more low-cost housing. It's an insane thing because it's like saying, we just passed a measure here in California, or is it Los Angeles?
Which one?
We just had a local election where they're talking about adding an extra half a cent to provide. This thing is, it's up there with building more prisons. It's like, we got all this people and they're wandering the streets and there's twice as many as there were 2 years ago. So we have to build low cost. Like, hey, we have all these criminals or these young juvenile delinquents. We need to build more places to house them. It's like, I don't think that's a scientific approach to solving a problem, building up and out. You know what I mean? Like, the first floor is where the kitchen is and it's infested with roaches. What do we do? Build up.
Move it up.
how about we look at where the roaches are coming from and what we can do about the infestation and how to slow it down and figure it out. And we're just moving up to the roof. It's not really, well, we'll just build a second story. We'll add half a cent to every tax and we'll move the tax. And it's like, is that really, like, we have a homeless problem? Is it because we don't have enough homes? It has the word home in it, and you're using the word homeless, but I'm not drawing a straight line at the homeless and not enough homes. Right. I'm thinking there are many other issues at work here. And I, for one, would like it looked into rather than we need to build more of this.
Yeah, it's the ounce of prevention versus a pound of cure. You know, where do you want to spend your money?
It'd be nice. I don't feel like our politicians are wired that way. Mm. And I just want guys like this to, I want to present them or their ilk with problems and then have them break it down and get back to us with the answer. And whatever the answer is, that's the direction we move. All right, we've got some phone calls here. Measure H, 0.25%. Yeah. County tax for 10 years passed overwhelmingly. The vote, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, do not think you will see any change in the homeless
problem
population.
Problem solved.
We did it.
All right. And when's he going to get those predatory check cashing places shut down?
Oh, I saw him shutting them down. Never.
Right. LifeLock. Also, there's articles people give me all the time. It's like a lot of people just like doing their business that way. There's a lot of people that just like cashing their checks, don't like banks, don't trust banks. Well, Los Angeles has a whole underground economy that works in cash and it doesn't work in records and wanting IRS. Mm-hmm. I suspect a lot of it is IRS related stuff, but he's looking at it as the places are victimizing its users. I'd like a better look at a lot of the users because I suspect they're not wanting to have a lot of stuff on the books.
Right.
I suspect it's a little bit of the devil you know, too. Like if you maybe your parents went to a place like that or you've only ever gone to places like that, then you're just going to keep going to places like that.
I should ask my dad if he ever got a check.
Start there.
You mean like what you do in a box?
Yeah.
No. This is the...
They're coming to make sure you're in your bed and then, you know.
LifeLock. Well, chances are you've used the same password for multiple accounts. That's a bad habit. Increases chances of hacks and identity theft. Install a password manager and get LifeLock, baby. Identity theft. It's America's fastest growing crime. I have LifeLock. I don't have a problem. They're U.S.-based. They are out here. My family has LifeLock. I think even Philly Cheesesteak might have LifeLock. Gary, did you find that picture of that thing engulfing Natalia's bed?
Uh-huh.
All right, hold it for a second. Show you guys in a second. So, if you got a problem, they're out here. They don't outsource. They're all out in the U.S. of A. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock is the best protection available. Memberships start at just $9.99 a month. Just $9.99 a month. Again, cost of doing business. You're on, I don't tell you about WikiLeaks and all this. Protect yourself. You're online shopping all day. It's LifeLock, Dawson.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus. For 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership, call 1-800-LifeLock. 1-800-LifeLock.
All right. I was telling you I was going to show you this picture of my dog and a never-ending quest to get comfortable. And I said, thing likes to lay out, but not just lay out, like splay out. It.
Oh, my God.
My daughter.
That looks photoshopped.
My daughter sleeps in a queen-size bed, and this dog was hanging off of each end of it. And not going lengthwise, but widthwise. But it's a good five and a half feet wide.
Wow.
That doesn't look real. That's insane.
He's end to end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off end to end.
He's dangling over each end.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. If he had a heart attack, she could never escape.
And she's cool with it. She's on her phone.
Yeah, she's enjoying herself. So you can go to AdamCarolla.com and see Philly splayed out. I should make a montage of him relaxing.
You know what the craziest part about the picture is? Your daughter's in a queen-size bed?
That is pretty amazing.
I didn't have a queen-size bed till I was 22.
Me
and even
too.
Then, it was a hand-me-down. My parents lived with me for 12 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I don't even know where to begin.
You're having a comfy off.
I had a queen-size bed for the queen.
Yeah.
I had like a cot mattress my whole life. And I slept on this wooden riser that had like a cot mattress on it. I mean, it's insane. It's totally insane. Well, first... things are like sort of affordable. Like if I would have said to my parents, I'd like to purchase a new mattress, they'd be like, ah! Like, I don't even know what they're talking
about. Okay, King Midas.
I don't know what they'd say. My mom's mattress on the floor. My mom slept on the floor. Oh my God. Like, I don't know what their response would be. I wouldn't even, it's not have the courage. I wouldn't ask. I would not ask my parents for a new mattress any more than I would. I walk up to a homeless guy and ask him for a box set of the Raccoon Tours last live set at Red Rocks. Like they'd just be like, what?
It'd be confusing.
Wouldn't be upset. It'd just be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, there's zero chance of this guy producing this, and then they'd be confused.
Mm-hmm.
So I never brought it up. But yeah, she's got a huge big bed with a big dream catcher above it and the big thing hung on the wall and then a huge dog sawing logs. It's awesome.
Does Sonny have like a race car bed? Picture him in some sort of big toy.
There he is. I think he knows I would enjoy that.
Yeah,
get some
okay,
form
so
of satisfaction
no
out
can
of
do.
It. No. Mm-mm. All right, where were we? Let's talk to Patrick, 27, North Carolina. Patrick?
Hey, Adam. Hey, Bald. Hey, Gina.
What's going on, man?
Pleasure calling. I'm getting married in April, and my groomsmen have a lot of dirt on me. Actually, it's also a coincidence. I actually had to end my college career of football because of concussions.
So oh, you did?
One of those. Yeah, played with Russell Wilson, too. Showered with him as well.
All right.
Nice. NC State.
Yeah.
NC State, yeah. Came in together. And that kind of leads me into what my groomsmen have on me. They have all that dirt on me. I invented a game at State called Gay Chicken, and so you can imagine.
Yeah.
So that goes.
I cannot imagine. I need an explanation. What
People
is gay chicken?
I have no idea how much hazing goes on with dudes, yeah. And it always takes a turn for the homoerotic because that's the only way you can really haze a dude like these dudes.
Exactly.
You doing some thing where it's like they got to chug a beer or something like that. That's all been there, done that.
Russell's like, let's play chicken again.
how does the gay chicken go?
So you lock eyes with another person, and whoever breaks, you're going to kiss, and whoever breaks off from the kiss first loses, and I never lost.
As discussed on Loveline with Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn, I was there. They were talking about gay chicken. They went in for a kiss, and the one who turns away is somehow the loser.
Yeah, I feel like anyone who's playing gay chicken doesn't hate playing gay chicken.
How about, no, you... Gina, I hung out with dudes
out of the mouths of babes.
All we did was some of the gayest. We did some of the gayest stuff imaginable, simply to abuse the other guy who was heterosexual.
Okay,
that's the way straight guys abuse each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean I loved it when they're talking. Every football camp's that way. I loved it when Barbara Walters was like, and what is teabagging? And then the mom had to hold the tears back. And it's like,
they lay him on the ground.
Yeah. And then Barbara, they have to cut back to Barbara looking appalled and confused.
Yeah.
Here's how you know she's a witch and full of shit. They have segment producers and they have a clipboard filled with questions. You do work with your segment producers before you go in. You go, what's her name? What's the problem? What's going on? And then you read notes and you read articles and stuff like court transcripts and stuff. And if Barbara didn't know what teabagging was, she'd say to a segment
first
producer,
questions, yeah.
What is this? I don't know what this is. And then the segment producer would tell them what it was.
He's smart. He's like, yeah, trust me, Babs. This is going to
be
good.
It's going to be good. No, she knew exactly what it was. But anyway, what about Russell Wilson? Is he weird?
No, he's exactly as you expect him. I guess we kind of saw him as the always right by the coach. You know, I don't want to use the word suck up, but he was always around the coach. So I got in trouble one time for picking him off. I was a middle linebacker, and the coach chewed me out for intercepting him during practice.
Oh, so, you and Malcolm Butler.
How can they do that? Yeah,
I guess it was a Thursday. We were just winding down before the game, and I think they just didn't want him. Anything negative.
Oh, confidence, right.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, speaking of that play, man, I'm telling you, the ball being served up to him in the shotgun formation on his left knee and having him direct his attention down was the millisecond it took for Butler to slide in. Those shotgun snaps are like fair to poor to middling a lot of the time. And if you put it right in the guy's hands and he can launch it versus on his knee, he had to look down.
Especially if it's a timing route like
that. Right, and then bring it up and then throw it. And what goes on is they don't – it came back a little slow and it came back a little low. Now, the problem with the long snapper or the shotgun guy is it's not the long snapper. It's just the center. So he's kind of doing double duty. And when you're in that position, the only thing you can do to lose the game is to fire it back, have it go over the guy's head,
yep,
and have the ball go skating toward the other end zone, in which case the game is over.
So you're overcompensating.
So what you're doing is like, you are handing it to him like a Fabergé egg between your legs. You don't see many guys with the confidence to just fire it back. But the reality is at this level, with what these guys do.
Yeah, it was a 4-point game, so bad snap would have.
These guys should work at it and should just get used to firing it back, just like punters and extra point field goal guys. Those centers just rocket that ball back, and these guys take it a little easy. Like, let's not lose the game.
I also feel bad for the center because he's had, 75 collisions up to that point in the game? You know, they're somewhere in the neighborhood. Whereas the long snapper, he's a specialist.
Right.
He's out there for those 3-4 plays.
Yeah, it wasn't a horrible snap. It was just if they'd put a little
off enough.
Put a little gas on it and bring it up 8 inches and put just a little heat on it, and he may not have jumped the route. Anyway, Patrick, getting married.
Yeah, and my groomsmen have a lot of dirt on me. Do I let them speak at the wedding?
I would not trust my friends as far as I could throw them, especially with a few beers in them.
Yeah. Do you have a wedding planner, Patrick?
I do not.
Oh, someone's got to be in charge of that microphone. The microphone cannot be, accessible.
Yes.
Okay.
And typically only the best man speaks anyway, right? The whole groom's the party should not speak.
Yes. All right. Go back to school, losing a job, or...
Please don't take line 4.
Observation on a scene from Cobra. Cabretti?
Oh!
Damn.
What are the chances?
We might be able to get that gentleman.
Damn
back. No, we can't!
Tam tongue.
Sarah?
Yeah, sorry for the disappointment.
Yeah.
Well, she might have an observation on COVID, too.
What do you want to talk about? The Notebook?
Bridges of Madison County, am I right?
What do you got?
I am kind of at a crossroads with my career. Because I've gone this long, like, without a degree, but I just lost my job, so now I feel very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted inputs on, it's like, do I go back for some 2-year, like, certification thing? I don't know, job security. It's weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I get it. I like a vocation. I like a skill, like a hard skill, like a can't take it away skill. You know, the degrees and the stuff where you have
the accumulated knowledge is nice.
Yeah, or the one where you have, hey, I got 31 years working at the Boeing plant. Oh, they're moving. Mm-hmm. You know, like I like the tangible stuff that they can't really take away from you. And there's plenty of stuff you could learn in a year or 6 months or 2 years or whatever. I mean, I don't know what you want to do. I don't know what floats your boat. But, I mean, it's like, you want to get into something like nursing or something that has a sort of, it's not the commitment. It's not a 10-year commitment like being a physician. But you're always going to be in demand. And it's just always out there.
Absolutely.
Something like typewriter repair.
Vacuum repair.
Vacuum repair. Yeah. Any word repair.
Anything door to door.
What did you do? Hey, everybody. She has no discernible skills. Except for shaking her moneymaker. Could you grin and drop your linen? It's Sarah. I mean, chandelier. Jade, say five. Say five, Jade.
I wish that would have paid more. I was just in, like, staffing and recruiting and being a recruiter. But, yeah, like, you're right. I mean, I don't know. There's really no
job
security.
What would you like to do?
I was looking into 2-year programs, which means I have to be a broke student for 2 years, like ultrasound technician, sonography technician.
That's exactly what I'm talking about right there, just one of those things.
I have some establishing questions for Sarah. Sarah, what is your overhead? Are you married? Do you have kids? Do you have a house, a mortgage?
No, I am not. I am single. living back home.
This is the time to do it, though. You know, take advantage of this window.
Yeah, when you put it that way, that's really true.
Yeah, this is your window.
Imagine yourself with kids and a mortgage and, you know, those things. Like, that's impossible at that point.
And also, there's nothing. Yeah. You're 28. It's perfect. And nobody's counting anything before the age of 30. Somehow, when it starts with a 3, now we're going to need to hear a little career attached to it. So you being 31 and working as a technician or whatever that is, no problemo. But now's the time.
Now's the perfect time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes me feel better with my decision then.
Okay. Good.
Do it.
Go forth.
Call some tears.
All right. Can I say bye and hi? I love you guys.
Love you, baby.
Come to D.C., please.
We will, but we need you to get a job. Because we're selling t-shirts, mugs, books,
I'll pay for everything.
DVDs.
Yeah, all right. I'll keep you posted.
Thank you.
Bye, chandelier.
All right. One last one. First, real quick, I'll tell you about LegalZoom. National Small Business Month is upon us. It's here. The timing couldn't be any better either. Approval rates for business loans are up. So is consumer confidence. And LegalZoom.com has created a free business startup kit. So you go to LegalZoom.com/startup, do it today, and just download it. They have educational ebooks and LegalZoom discounts to save money on setting up your business. Plus, save thousands through LegalZoom's partner. The partners, by the way, they offer to help you with financing and marketing and operations. So it's all there. It's all at LegalZoom. If you're starting a business, Mark Garagus says all the time, he says the same thing about LegalZoom that I say about IKEA. And people go, I'm thinking about building a book. I could just go to IKEA and buy one. If you can just go buy one, go buy one. It's always going to be cheaper. If you can stay out of Garagus' office, stay out. But there's a lot. Look, Chris Brown can't.
Right.
But if you're starting a little business and you just need to get the stuff, go to LegalZoom. It's always going to be cheaper than if I build you something custom.
Yeah, and Garagus would agree.
Yeah, absolutely. No obligation. Just great resources. LegalZoom, not a law firm, but they're dedicated to making life easier for business owners. LegalZoom, Dawson.
Whether you're thinking of starting a business or already run one, go to LegalZoom.com/startup during National Small Business Month to take advantage of your free business startup kit. That's LegalZoom.com/startup.
All right. Paul, 32, Virginia.
Oh, please be there. Please.
Paul.
I'm so excited about this.
Wants to do voiceover acting.
Wants to audition for you right now.
Wants to audition for me. Let me try this one time. Paul? No? All right. Well, if he pops up.
He's auditioning to do a mute.
He's
we
my
just
summer
got a
song.
Call coming in on a different line. Give me a second.
Please be Paul,
okay.
Not the Cobra guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're really rolling the dice here, Gina. Snake eyes, perhaps.
I will tell you guys real quick that the Spike Show airs tonight. That's Tuesday night. So,
are you excited?
Did you have fun?
It's live, Gina.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
live. I like the idea that it's live. I really do. I really like that idea. But it's very anything could happen kind of a thing. Lots of things spinning around.
That doesn't stress you out though, right? Like it doesn't keep you from wanting to do it.
No, that part doesn't stress me out. What stresses me out is when we do stuff like this, and I think Brian knows this part. They'll do the thing all the time. They go, all right, let's just roll through rehearsal here. Let's block it out. Let's do the thing. All right, now head over to the monitor, and this is you taking a call. Now this is, we're just faking this for now, but we hooked up a camera and we got out of this remote over here. Now in the thing, it's going to be Jessica from Chicago or whomever, but for now we're just doing this. And then you punch it up. It's like Jessica from Chicago.
Hey, what's up?
What's your problem? It's a heavy set.
Hey,
I don't know why
going?
This is bugging me even more, but a heavy set, very Asian male.
I can't
just,
do that.
Just standing there.
Good day, mate.
He's just standing there. And I'm like, do we have a female? It's just a person, like an intern, just standing there. You know what I mean? And then I get this one, which always drives me nuts. Oh, listen, for the run through on Monday, we'll get him. And I'm like, I know. It kind of reminds me of the guy I used to work on my race car. Like, something would break on the car, and then I go, we need to get this tachometer working for the big race. And he'd go, don't worry. When we get back to L.A., we'll get it all sewed up. And I'm like, I'm not worried about when we get back to L.A., this is what we're doing. And so they'd go, they always do the same thing with me. They go, I have pointed out to everybody who would listen to me in that place, it drives me nuts when you have to audition or something mm-hmm. and you're reading in with the casting agent. And, you know, it's the death scene from the World War II classic. And you're on the battlefield with Chip. Your best friend is bleeding out. And it's a heavy set Jewish chick who's reading with you. And I love you, bro. And to be like, tell Kellyanne I love her. It's like, I'll tell her, bro. We beat with one heartbeat. It's getting dark. You know, it's like, can we just get a dude? It's so, they'll mix and match all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, I get it. It's an audition. You have a whole bunch of people piling through and she's the casting, whatever. I would argue that if it's that kind of scene, just get the dude casting, whatever in there. But this is just have a human being stand here, like on the other side of this duvetine while we shoot him and put him up on the thing. And I have to keep saying, so Alyssa, what's the problem with the drywall?
My husband insists on drywall hanging.
Right. And I'm like,
I think she's just get a professional to do it.
I've screamed about this 1,000 times. Could we get a dude and have him stand there? And they're like, we're going to swap him out for that. I know we're going to swap.
Understood.
But for this part, since I'm so incredibly bumped, not so bumped that it's a dude, more bumped that I've yelled about this 3,000 times and the teleprompter says Alyssa in it. It's really, really, this is what we're going to discuss.
You guys remember the scene in True Romance where Michael Rapaport is auditioning to be in T.J. Hooker, but the person auditioning with him, like he's in a cop scene, like, he's on the hood, shoot him, they're driving, it's a casting director, and he's like, I don't know how he got there, he just got there, but that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, although...
How'd he get there? I don't know how he got there, he just got there, we'll shoot him!
Right. That's even just acting or something. This is like...
But he's reading against, you know, his cop's supposed to be, you know, the cop buddy.
In this, you have a choice. Yeah. You have... The set is comprised of half female and half male. It's literally... There's many women running around there as there is men, maybe more. Simply take one of the ones with the fallopian tubing and have them stand there. Or you can swap the name to Big Jake.
Mm-hmm. That would make more sense.
Why this? It's weird. All the run-throughs we did was just some chick who was sitting there, and then we ran it through, and this big Asian dude. It's like, which is a bump in and of itself. Anyway, so I have to then stop and go on a 20-minute tirade about, can we have a human being with some fallopian tubing stand there, please? And have I not brought this up? Other than that, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. It'll be, it's live. And,
it's exciting.
It's exciting, and we haven't... It's not that well worked out. I'll put it to you.
This is must-see TV.
I'll put it to you that way. The timing, the time, you know, where do you put the timer? You find this stuff out. It's a little,
Do you want to maybe reveal that we're recording in advance?
Oh, yeah, we are recording in advance. Well,
a little time.
What I'm saying is it's tonight anyway, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be. It'd be before the show, so.
Yeah. But people hearing it will know that it'll be worked out by the time you hear this. It'll be a well-oiled machine, is what we're saying.
Listen, it's a live show. I don't mind if there's some of that in there. That's my plan. All right, my other plan is Simply Safe. A few years ago, if you wanted to get protection for your family, have to spend a ton on complicated products, tangled mess of wires, get forced in some long-term contract, not for you. Now, it's Simply Safe. Thanks to Simply Safe, protecting your family is now simple. All the elements of good home security streamlined into one amazing system. 24/7 professional monitoring, powerful sensors, high-def security cameras. So if there is a break-in, it automatically starts recording evidence for the police and sends it right to your smartphone. Plus, live stream HD footage anytime you want. So you want to know what's going on? Philly cheesesteak napping on the wrong sofa? Maybe crushing a child? Mid-nap, use Simply Safe. There's two I's in there. Simply Safe. Go to simplysafeadam.com right now. Get 10% off. Protect your family. Let's be smart about this. Simplysafeadam.com. Get 10% off right away. All right. You go to adamcarolla.com if you want to find out how to be in the audience. If you hear this, want to come out tonight, see the show. Jimmy Kimmel will be out there. Ought to be fun. You can email questions at... CorollaQuestions@gmail.com for subsequent shows or whatever for the for the Spike Show.
Just to be clear, sorry, that's if you want to be on the show or you're working on a home improvement thing. The audience link is just at AdamCarolla.com.
Sorry, yes, that is true. Also, no safe spaces. Me and Dennis Prager, boy, what a sage. Up on stage at Cal State Northridge. iTunes, Amazon, AdamCarolla.com. It's just $4.99. A lot of wisdom for under $5. Carolla Drink, say hi to Lynette. Use the code SNOWDAY. Get 50% off shipping. She's going sick on that company. I love that. And chassis, two S's and a Y, and all that kind of stuff. So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Bald Brian saying mahalo.
Gay chicken.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow the Ace Man on Twitter at Adam Carolla. What else is going on? Leave us a voicemail with questions and comments at 888-634-1744. That's going on. Taking Heat's going on. It's a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Yeah, it's a podcast. Yeah, you got to pay for it, but it'll make you a better person. Click the link at AdamCarolla.com. Gina Grad, working her tail off. Weekday mornings, 5:30 to 9:30 a.m. on 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles, California. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangry events, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.
I'm Rob Cicernino, the aptly named Rob Has a Podcast, where we're creating fun, smart conversation around reality TV games like Survivor. And this March, Survivor Game Changers is finally here. Join me weekdays for episode recaps, player interviews, and of course, your feedback. So if you're ready for a game change in your own Survivor experience, download Rob Has a Podcast at podcastone.com on the Podcast One app or subscribe on iTunes.